The current podcast is sponsored by Highly Addictive. Highly Addictive is here for your music recording needs. If you need a space to record your vocals or instrumentals, contact Highly Addictive. Don't be shy to record your music. Become inspired by Highly Addictive. Contact them through their site at highlyaddictivellc.com or follow them on Instagram through Highly Addictive LLC. Hope you book them. The current podcast is sponsored by New Life Barber Lounge. New Life is not another barbershop. This is a place where you will find great energy and a friend in the New Life crew. This is a place all about the experience. They will take care of you and have you looking spectacular. Don't waste your time at any other place. Go right now and follow them on Instagram at New Life Barbers and get yourself looking spectacular.
Welcome to the current podcast. Thank you for joining us in another episode tonight. This is Byron, your producer. We have my co-producer right here, Mauricio. How you doing, bro?
We're real good, man. This is a hot night, but we're doing really good. Yeah,
tell me about it. We finally officially started summer. But we also have Enzo, our host.
What up, bro? How you doing?
Good, and yourself, man? And then we can't forget our other host, Manny. How you doing, bro?
Hey, how's it going, Byron?
And to also, good, thank you, bro. And then also to top it off, we have a special guest tonight. Everybody, welcome Laura Romo from ESPN.
Hey, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you guys?
Very well. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to be here with us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Of course.
I don't know about the Sixers jersey in the back, but no. It's
not. About which one?
The Sixers jersey.
Oh,
no. Where is it? I don't even see it.
No Sixers jersey.
No, I'm wearing Iverson.
Oh, for the player.
Yeah.
Byron.
I got the Lakers shorts.
As you can tell, he's a little confused. Orioles, Sixers.
Yeah.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. I told him that.
We diehards over here, you know, Laura. So it was.
Yeah, you see the Kobe pictures all over the room.
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. Thank you. But I just wanted to start off by saying when the first time I heard you on the radio, and it was during this whole fiasco that we had to go through the last couple of years called the pandemic. And it was just weird because there was a little transition going on. There was new host. There was a Cap coming on. Lindsay was new. And then there was Laura. And I was like, who's this Laura person? Like, she sounds very familiar. Like, where have I heard her before? And, you had very strong opinions as well. And I was like, this is... Like, she doesn't like LeBron. She doesn't like these things, certain things. Like, oh, my gosh. Like,
you don't like LeBron?
It's the whole story, bro.
Hopefully we get into that. But just tell us a little bit about yourself as far as where you come from, who you are, and just a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, I actually grew up in the Valley, the 626. So went to Baldwin Park High School. Very born, bred L.A. girl. Both of my parents are from Mexico. Like, they're both from Jalisco. My mom is closer to Guadalajara. My dad's from Jalos, which I think it's a little bit more known. As far as my upbringing, I was very regular, man. Like, grew up a Dodger fan, going to Dodger games because, you know, my dad couldn't afford to take us to Laker games. So Top Deck was my thing. So kind of grew up in sports a little bit. My parents are huge into soccer and boxing. And I'm not. I don't know nothing about soccer, which is really bad. I'm a bad Mexican. But yeah, I mean, I kind of... Baby, be quiet. Sorry, my boyfriend's in the background, so I apologize for that. But yeah, I mean, I never really thought I would be in radio or really do anything in entertainment, even though I was around entertainment because of my dad. And my dad used to do like CB radio. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
No,
we and don't. Like, give us a little. You don't? Okay, so you know like the old school radios like truckers have, and then they kind of communicate with each other.
Yeah.
There was like a whole community of that. Like there was different groups. And my dad used to have a group of guys, and you know, they would interact with each other from like all over the country, and they would do like big like shows and stuff. So my dad's always been a character. Like, he's always the clown. He's always the person, like, in back of the camera recording and instigating. And I grew up, I'm like, dude, that's dope. You know, like, I want to do that. But I didn't really know what it was or how to even go about it. And I grew up in radio, like, in the sense of that was my buddy. So I always thought that would be really cool to do. But as a Latina, you don't see people like me on TV and definitely. In media, yeah. You know.
The representation is a little low.
A little?
Yeah.
A little, yeah. It's an understatement. Very
low. Not just Latino, but also as a female, too. It's a lower demographic, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, well, there's the aspect of me being a woman, right? Then I'm Latina, but I'm not just Latina. Soy Mexicana, so that's that. Because, you know, we get hated on a lot. And then on top of that, it's like I wasn't your typical looking chick where it's like I'm a size 2. So it's like there was definitely no one like me on TV or in radio, right? So it was hard for me to picture myself in those kind of roles. And then even in sports, even though I love sports, it was like, what? You're going to let a girl talk? Like it was not common. I mean, I feel like it's getting better now, but it wasn't common.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you break that ceiling to get to, you know, to the various places that you got to?
Ooh, so it's interesting. I always thought I was going to be a neurosurgeon.
Whoa.
So is that like, what you studied for? Like, did you go to college to aim for that or?
Not really. Like, I think growing up, I just wanted to make money. So I was like, what career is going to get me money, right? Like. And as Latinos, and especially my parents being immigrants, they wanted us to go to school and do something better than what, you know, I grew up helping my mom sell at the swamp meet and clean houses and stuff. So seeing my dad wake up in the morning, 3 a.m, because he was in painting. So they didn't want me to do that. So I was like, what's going to get me to not do that? And I was like, school. So I was really, really focused on that. So I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted something that was going to get me money. And in 2008, I graduated high school in 2006, right? And I busted my knee. I had to defer from school. And that pushed me back. And I ended up at Mount SAC, which was like the go-to place for everyone that kind of lands. Like if you live anywhere in the 626 area / like really close to Pomona, 909 area, that's where you go, right? Mm-hmm. It's either Citrus College, Pasadena, Rio Hondo, or Mount SAC.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you, right? Like, okay.
Yeah, I was born in Omani and I lived in Omani until I was 16. So those are the community college everybody was always talking about. Mount SAC, Rio Hondo, and then the other one you mentioned, Citrus as well.
Yeah, and like, you know, Pasadena. So for me, it was like, okay, I don't want to curse because I don't know if we can.
No,
but like,
you can. You're fine. You're
we're
fine.
We're fucking sailors. You know? We're sailors.
You're sailors. It's over here. But I was like, fuck. Like, now I got to go.
Fuck,
with everybody that couldn't get into college because that's how I saw it as a failure. Yeah. Right? So I was like the most arrogant girl ever because I was like, I got accepted to good schools and I'm here at a 2-year college, right? So I flunked out.
My question, are you also first generation?
I am.
Ah, okay, yeah. So, I can understand that a lot. I can relate to that.
That's where the hustle, if you wanted to prosper and do better than what your predecessors did, you know what I'm saying? That's where, because we're first generation and we always want to strive to do great things because
all the way
of where we come from, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, for me, you know, going into that school, I felt like, damn, like I did something wrong. And I feel like so stupid saying that now because if it wasn't for that school, I wouldn't be where I am because I flunked out. And then I went back and I was like, okay, you need to get shit done. So I go back and then I get into a super bad car accident that I almost passed away in 2008. And I flunked out of that semester, but not because I was doing anything wrong. It was just because of the accident. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends, I'll never forget, he goes, man, you don't shut up. Like, you just keep talking. You don't shut up. He's like, why don't you do a broadcasting class? I saw it on the catalog. And I was like, man, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, he's like, just do it. So I did it and I loved it. Like my professor, the lady that was the head of the department at the time, she was like, she worked with Mucho Morales, which is crazy. Cause when I told Chris, you know, fast 4 years later, I was like, yo, this was my professor. He's like, what? She worked with my dad. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. But it's crazy how this community is so small, yeah, right? Full so circle. I did the
it came back full circle, like my brother said, yeah.
Yeah. So like I did the program at Mount SAC for broadcasting. We were fortunate. I don't really know how the program is now, so I can't really speak on it now. But at the time, like PJ Butter, who's still on the air, right? He works at KDA, was there. He was one of my professors. And he took us to Power 106, where I met someone there. And I, you know, I just met some people. And they're like, yo, we really like your energy and what you're about, your personality. Like, why don't you intern? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm kind of trying this out. And like, yo, shout out to Jeff Garcia, because he was like, no, you should definitely intern here. So, you know, long story short, I did the internship there, was there for like, you know, good 6-7 months. Then the hustle and bustle, like y'all know how it is. You know, you intern, you do this, you do that. But prior to interning that and even being on any broadcasting, anything, when I, because I saw that you mentioned Latino. So Latino 96.3 used to do a takeover, like middays, right?
Yeah. It started. That's where I recognized your voice from, by the way. When you finally put it together, I was like, that's where I recognize your voice from.
My sister used to always listen to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. That's so crazy. Because, like, the takeover was so, like, I remember getting there and I met Sandra Peña, who had just kind of taken over for the other people that had came in. And she's like, hey, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to come in. I'm going to intro you. You talk for a little bit and you get out. I was like, cool. So it was an hour. We didn't really talk a lot. So when, you know, I think you mentioned that to me, I was like, dude, that was in 2008.
Wow.
Like, that's so crazy. I wasn't even thinking of doing broadcasting. I had already had my accident. So, you know, I kind of did the hustle and bustle, did power. That was a rough ending. It kind of really discouraged me in the business because of how a lot of things went down. And I got out of the business, did a regular job, but I hated my life.
Damn.
Like, hated my life.
Because you had already found your passion, the thing that you actually liked.
Yeah. Like, I was making great money. Like, mm-hmm. I look at it now, and I'm, because, you know, I'm about to be 34 next month. And I'm like, dang, I would be bawling if I would have invested into something because I was getting paid great. But I was partying every night with, like, the DJs from Power 106.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because, like, Alhambra, Pasadena, like, those are the places to go, right? Iztapa, yeah, right? True, was, like, true. The thing back then. And I was partying with them a lot. Why? Because Slide Bar and Fullerton. Because I wanted to be around the environment that I had left. And, you know, again, I did the hustle and bustle, landed at KISS. Love that place. I have nothing but respect for JoJo and his producer. He's not his producer anymore. He actually works for Apple Music. But Ian Zach, like, love those guys. That didn't work out. Landed in a Spanish station. Did that for a few years. I got sick and I had to leave the business completely. Oh, shit. Right? And then, so Briones, who I work with, we went to college together. And
really?
He's like, yeah. He's like, dude, you need to be in this business. And so many people have told me that. That's how I've gotten back in the business, right? When I went to KISS, it was one of my classmates was like, dude, you need to be back in this business. Here's who you need to talk to. So it's really, like, all about networking and connections. Like, I tell people.
Definitely.
Don't burn a bridge.
Right. Yeah, you seriously. Never know who's going to make it.
Don't burn a
bridge. You never know you got to cross that bridge again later down the line. Life and always works with full circles. It's like it's inevitable. We're gonna bump into people we knew in the past. I have a question though.
No, go for it. I talk a lot. You gotta cut me off.
When you're going through this process and you have to be a radio personality, does your voice have anything to do with how you get, you know, acclaim or how do you get the people's attention or is it just personality?
Honestly, Sorry, my boyfriend's over here putting opinions too. Like, I definitely
get him a mic. Get him a mic.
He's eating. He's scarfing down some chicken. But like on the real, like I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think I've heard people on the air that I'm like, ooh, that's a rough voice, right? Like that's rough, and it's not because it's bad. It's just sometimes it's not a like I hate my voice.
Really? I feel like you have a radio voice.
I'm sorry?
I feel like you have a very radio voice. Like, it's like, I can wake up to you every day, listen to the radio. Like, when I used to listen to the radio, now I listen to podcasts every morning. But my brother is big on ESPN, so I'm sure he can attest to that, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's very, a voice that
it's friendly.
Very prominent. That's what I'm saying. When I heard the voice, I was like, I've heard this voice before, especially on the radio. So, I think you got the radio voice, Laura.
For sure.
Well, thank you. Yeah, but like, I personally don't like it, but a lot of people that are in this business will say that about their voice. Like, I've never not heard someone say, oh, my voice sounds weird. But I definitely think it's all personality. Like, you can have a dope voice. Like, I know some guys that have, like, this beautiful, deep, like, Barry White, voice. Yeah. But got no personality, bro. And it's like,
does it mix? What? It doesn't mix.
You know, so I definitely think.
So that's interesting that you brought up Jorge, because I was conflicted when this whole Mandy's thing came up, because they pinned you guys against each other, and so when this whole Mandy thing came up, I was in a little conflict, because I've been listening to the morning show, like the old morning show, when it was when Chris Morales was producing, and it was Jorge Briones as the board op and all that stuff. So I've been listening to Jorge and his personality on radio. Can't hear us?
Okay, now I was like, what's up?
My bad. I have to mute us so that we don't. I don't cut off the audio for you so much.
You're good.
I was just bringing up Jorge, how like I listened to him back in when it was the old radio show. When it was with Keyshawn and Sedano was on there as well. And it's just ironic that you bring him up. And we went to the Mandy's, and like I said, they had you guys pinned up against each other when it came to Associate Producer of the Year. And I was voting for him heavy, if I'm being honest with you, just because I've been following for the longest. And what was that?
I said, it's all good. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. But then I reached out to, I remember you started doing the lives on IG. And then I reached out to you, and you were like, and you were down to do this podcast, and I was like, damn, I gotta switch up my voting now. Like, I started voting for Laura. So you know, I voted for Laura, but yo, Jorge held down on Friday. Like, he held it down.
Here's the thing, like, I've known George, like I said, since 2008, 2009. That's a long time.
Yeah.
And this kid is so talented. Like, he always wanted to do TV and like everything he did for the Mandy's, that's what he's been wanting to do. And he's worked in TV, right? But I've always told him, you have a great radio voice. Now I hate radio. You know, he was my intern.
Whoa.
When I was
wow. That's wild.
Like, he was my intern when we were at I don't know if you guys heard of the station, well, the company Entravision, right? Yeah. They stations in LA. All over the country, but they own Superestrella, which is kind of where I did a lot of overnights and stuff for a bit. And he was my intern. And then our boss was like, you know what? I want to bring him in, whatever. So he got hired, but he didn't like it. Like, he didn't really like radio. He went back to TV, and his goal was ESPN. And I was like, bro, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. So he kept pushing, and he got there. And then he landed on the morning show with Keyshawn, and he would tell me stories like, man, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. And I was like, that's so dope. Like, you're a Latino in a market, a station that has no Latino.
Exactly.
Yeah, trust me. Like, me being, like, doing this podcast, like, there's certain people at the station that, like, inspire me to do what I'm doing. And it's someone like Jorge and, like, Steve Mason, just because knowing... Just hearing his story, where he came from and everything, just from Toledo, Ohio, and doing all these, he said he started his radio when he was like 13, and he talked about how he sold $500 ads and things like that. So, like, just hearing things, stories like that, and even now, like yours, they're inspiring. So even getting to meet Jorge a couple of times and having you in this podcast, it's really dope to hear these stories. But how was your transition going into ESPN and getting into sports? I don't know, was ESPN your first sports thing or?
It is.
What's been your favorite stop out of all of them before we even go into that?
So I think like they all have a different spot and a different lesson. Like I love Power because the love that I got there, like I will never, even though it was a rough ending for many reasons that I personally won't get into, but like Yessi Ortiz is amazing. Like I love that girl. Like I hadn't talked to her in a minute. Like we kind of reconnected because unfortunately in this business, like you're like this. You know, and even though you want to keep in contact with everybody every day, it's impossible. Like, I feel bad with Mauricio because he came up to me and he was like, yo, you know, can you do this? And I was like, yeah. And then it was like, I was getting pulled left and right. He's like, oh, you know, we'll connect back. And the night just kind of got away from us.
And I totally understand. Trust me, I see the hustle and I understand. And as long as we you were able to make it today, that's all that mattered.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I was with Manny here and I told him, Lo, like, as soon as I see Laura, I got to go up to her just to confirm this whole thing. And
appreciate you so much.
Yeah, and appreciate you. And I know that everybody's going to be coming up to you, man. You're a star on this show. You got to remember that. You got to know that.
I'm like, totally not. But the thing is that, right, like, it's funny because I think Power for me has a special place in my heart because it was my first station, the station that I loved, I grew up on, and I was like, yo, this is where I want to be, right? So I think there's that, and I was also 20 years old, so it's that, like, oh my God, I made it kind of thing, right? But I think every station I've been on, every journey in media has had a different lesson for me. And then just kind of at ESPN, I remember my interview with Amanda, and I was like, yo, a female's interviewing me? Mm-hmm. Like, wait, hold up, what? Like, the boss is a woman?
Mm-hmm.
What? In a sports station? Like, that's wild. Because I knew about Amanda. I didn't know she was about to get promoted because she was just the assistant when I got, you know, interviewed. So
yeah, I met, I think it was Dan Zampilla or something like that before. Mm-hmm. I met him at a remote one time. So yeah, I remember him being the boss and then Amanda took over.
So he quit. Like it was his last day. And it's funny because when I went in for my interview, they're like, you're going to interview with two people. And I was like, okay, cool. And then Amanda's like, change of plans. He's not coming in because it was his last day. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, whatever, you know. So I did my interview, whatever, and Amanda's like, why do you want this job? She's like, why? Like, I can't pay you what you're worth, and I can't give you the title that you deserve. And I was like, because I just want to foot in. And she's like, but you're not even going to get a consistent schedule. You're not going to get consistent hours. Like, I said, don't trip. I got a job that can pay my bills. I just want back in. Mm-hmm. She's like, and I was like, yeah. She was like, okay. And less than 24 hours, I got my offer letter for ESPN.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
How long ago was this? How long ago was this?
Dang, it's going to be 3 years in November. Mm.
Oh, so like right before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Dang. Yeah. So that's like, you're that group of people that, you know what I'm saying, like them, you made it happen right before the pandemic and then it just paid off for you through the pandemic.
Yeah, because like, so they hired me to do fill-ins for Laker games.
Dope.
And everyone's like, Laker games are so hard, like blah, 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 blah. And I came in and I just got along great with the producer. And he was like, oh, I don't got to babysit you. I'm out. And he went into the next room, right? And I was like, well, I have done play-by-play because I did it for my own sack. Like I said, they have a great.
Is this Jesse Lopez, by the way?
No. So Adam Bronstein, who is now with the Rams, took over. Jesse took over for Adam, but Adam was the guy, and Jesse was like kind of their go-to person for the Lakers. So it was Adam and Jesse had been promoted to producer, so they needed someone to kind of come in and take over his spot. So that's what I did. And then after that, they were like, Greg hit me up. He worked with me. I had to fill in for Mason in Ireland. And Greg's like, I really like the way you work. And I was like, cool, thanks, whatever. I didn't know, like you said, lineup changes, right? I didn't know things were changing and things were going to happen. Where, like, they brought Sedano into the midday. And I remember getting the call from Greg and being like, hey, so Sedano's going to work 10 to 12. Well, 10 to noon, he's like, it's going to be a Monday through Friday, Greg. He's like, you're going to lose hours because, you know, the Laker games are longer, but you're going to be consistently working here. And I'm like, dude, hell yeah. Like, mm-hmm. let's go. You know, and that's probably one of the funnest experiences for me, like working with Sano, Greg, and I. Like, it was because we just talk shit.
Yeah, like, it hell was, yeah.
It, you know, and it was weird because this was right before the pandemic hit. So we were working and we were all in studio and we were hearing about, you know, COVID and this and COVID that. And then all of a sudden, like, things get shut down. And now we're alone in the studio and doing literally everybody's job. And it was like, it was only four people that had clearance to be in that building. Funch was still there. A guy that's not there anymore. Briones and myself.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, shit. Now we got to figure out how are we going to do this remotely? Like, how are we going to connect our guys? And, like, shout out to Adam because he figured all that stuff out. But it's just been, like, crazy, you know, like, having people back now and, like, kind of getting used to that. Like, it's been a wild transition, but, like, I love it. Like, I genuinely love what I do.
And what's on the horizon for you? What's next? What's the next? You've reached the ESPN summit, like the height of what you wanted to. Is there anything else that you feel like as a broadcaster, as a radio personality, do you want to conquer another arena, another type of, do you want to get on TV eventually?
You know, I didn't think I wanted to until, like, this is going to be super sappy, but, like, not because he's here. But, like, really, like, my boyfriend, like, he's always like, you didn't think of this, you didn't think of that. And I was like, nah. He's like, why not? And I was like, well, you know, it's like, it's not, but why not, right? Like, my thing is, I love what you guys do because you guys put content that you guys want, right? When you're doing your own thing and you don't work for a network and you're not censored, like, you really built, but it takes time.
Right.
There's four of you guys.
Yeah.
When I was doing my podcast, it was me producing, editing, distributing, everything. And my co-host would just come and record. And I was like, yeah, I can't do that. So definitely in the works, I want to bring my podcast back a little bit different. You know, I just trademarked that. So I was really happy and really proud of that. So I definitely want to build more of a brand
of your own,
of my own.
Right. That's also great. Cause, like, now you have YouTube where you can definitely, you can transition your personality from there to YouTube. And I think for yourself, it would be much easier than somebody like us that, you know, we're damn near trying to get our foot in the door ourselves. You know what I mean? Like,
and you'll be surprised. I feel like people say that a lot to me, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Like, they're like, oh, you got a name behind you. But it's like, I don't, right? Like, someone said, like, oh, you're a star, you're known in the show. And it's like, I really think of myself as, like, a regular chick. Like, I just happen to do something really cool, and I love what I do.
I guess I'm just a big fanboy with the ESPN radio. Yeah. So I'm like, and I want to be in your shoes.
You're part of the fan base.
Yes. So, yeah.
She doesn't believe it yet.
Yes. But you are, you know what I mean? So you saw how many people were coming up to you. Don't act all like if you're not.
No.
You have a fan base.
That's the crazy thing, right? Like, because, okay, like, going back to power. Right. Mm-hmm. And being 20 years old. And like I said, I've known Briones forever. So I remember being 20 years old and thinking I was the shit as a fucking intern. Right. Because of where I was. And he's like, yo, calmate tus humos. You know, you got to bring that shit down. And have
keep your foot on the ground.
Yes. You know, and like now that it's weird because now where I'm at and like with what I'm trying to do and stuff, like, I don't think like that. I just love what I do, and I love connecting with people. Like, that's, you know, I just graduated with a psych degree, and everyone's like, oh, you'd be a great therapist. I'm like, yeah, I am. I don't do it, like, I don't do it in the sense that I get paid for it because I don't got a license. But, you know, interacting with people over social media or, you know, even when people stop, you're like, oh, I love this, I love that. Radio was my therapy. You know, listening to the Goodfellas, listening to Big Boy, listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show, like listening to those people, you know, to Theo and like PJ and like, you know, whatever. We can go back.
So you Spanish were radio you on too. The radio with DJ Charisma?
I, you know, no.
Probably, right?
I do know her, quote, know her, you know, because we interacted when I was there at Power, but like we haven't seen each other in like 12 years.
Oh, snap. Yeah, because you said you were in Promo 6 in 08, right?
No. I got there 2010.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was 96.3 and she was there in 2008.
Oh, okay, got you.
Like, literally, I applied in like, 2000.
And another question.
It's been a minute, like, and it's crazy because...
What do you like besides, like, from the music side and then the sports side? What do you like better?
Mm-hmm. I can talk.
On
because in music you can't talk, you get right, you don't really get to develop an opinion or share a thought. It's like boom, here's your song.
Okay,
right? Unless you're like on a morning show, like a Big Boy or like a J. Cruz in the afternoon, but even then, if you notice, it's still limited, right? Where talk, you guys have blocks to talk and really show off your personality a little bit more, I feel.
Okay, so you can really like you can explain why you don't like LeBron James in a ESPN.
he wants to hear that explanation. He needs a little brief explanation.
I'm a Kobe Bryant lover. Like I, you know, you can see the Kobe behind me right here, but I'm just curious to see.
Okay, my thing is, I grew up like. I gravitated more to Melo, like when they both came into the league. It was just maybe because he's half, you know, Latino, he's Puerto Rican, whatever. But like, to me, it was just cool. Like, you can't deny who he is as a player.
Right.
I've always felt that he's really arrogant and he comes off as like, ugh, you know. And again, don't aggregate that. LZ used to give me a lot of shit for it. But it's like, I remember when he lost. And they were trying to shake his hand, and he just booked it to the locker room. And I was like, man, that's so fucked up. Right. Like, I hated that. And I know Kobe did it, too. He was super arrogant. But I feel like he grew out of that. Whereas LeBron has that very, like, arrogant kind of mentality. So for me, it's about that. And, you know, I am a big Kobe fan. Like, there's that, too. Like, I'm not going to sit here in front about that.
It's a Kobe city for sure. Yeah, like even now after the passing, it's still a Kobe Bryant city. I mean, it's just a large shoes to fill for somebody that just came and gave us one ring during the pandemic. So,
I agree.
He could be arrogant, you
know. And I don't knock him. He's doing his hustle. It's just my thing is I don't gotta like you. Right. Like, why is I could respect you? I don't gotta like you.
Right. That's how a lot of people said about Kobe when he was in the league. They said they didn't like his style of play, but they respected it because you had to. It's Kobe Bryant, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And speaking about Kobe, did you ever get to meet him or at least see him from close?
So I never got to meet him. I only saw him play. It's funny. My dad actually met Kobe at a gas station.
That's what I would have wanted, to just run into him in the most randomest place.
Yeah, but no, unfortunately, I never did.
What has been your, like, starstruck moment? Where, like, if there's been anybody in this industry that you've ran into and you're like, wow. Like, for me, it was John Ireland on Friday, if I'm being honest with you.
Aww.
I was like, I really wanted, but I was like, dude, I've been hearing him since the K-Count 9 days, and it's like, it was so surreal if I'm being honest with you.
He chickened out.
Dude.
He chickened out.
As soon as I walked up, as soon as we got to the red carpet, we saw Sedano.
I kept trying to push
him. And Sedano is very intimidating, in my opinion, just because he's so fiery on the air. He's so fiery. So to me, he was a little intimidating.
Why was I not?
And then John Ireland, to me, I was like, that's the voice of the Lakers right there. Like, it was crazy to me. So it wasn't until I saw Alan Sliwa that I was like, this is Lakers talk? No, I'm just kidding. Sliwa's dope.
Night, dude, his girlfriend?
Right? Yeah, we were whoa.
Where'd she come from?
Yeah, we were like, where did she come from?
Yeah, so to answer your question, I kind of feel bad now because I feel like I should say someone that I work with right now, but I'm not.
He might not listen to this podcast.
Yeah, he might not listen to this podcast. So unless you share it along the station, which I would love, but if he doesn't.
No, I don't. Yeah, but for me, it was Nas. Like, meeting Nas and Damian Marley, that was dope. Like, man. Really, because I'm a big hip hop person.
On tour for that Distant Relatives record. Sick. That's epic.
I have that record, and I remember at Power they had like the posters, and I remember Jeff. So again, like, I love Jeff. Like, Jeff is a G. Like, not Jeff, not because he's G, but like, he's a dope person. Because I hated taking pictures of people. I was like, I don't want to take pictures. Like, I remember Katy Perry was sitting right next to me talking to me, and I did not take a picture with her. And that day, Jeff is like, you better go and take a picture with Nas. And I was like, no. But I did, and I love him for it because he pushed me. And he gave me the poster, and he's like, ask him to sign it. And I was like, I don't want to be that person. He's like, do it. And I still have that signed poster. It's pretty bad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a memory. Yeah, you're never going to forget.
That's what I kept telling Maury. I was like, you never know when you're going to run into him again. I was like, go do it right now. Go do it right now. I kept pushing him and pushing him, but he got shy on me.
Really, bro?
Yeah.
I would have walked up if I was there. I would have walked up to him.
I was a little nervous. But I did go up to Steve Mason because I had the honor of having him on my podcast like a year ago. He put that offer out on, I think you were on the radio show at that time when he was offering, like, if you have a podcast, you want me on it. So I shot my shot. I got him on it. So I had to go up to him in person.
It was
only
you,
handshake.
Though, man. I wanted to be on that podcast. Hey. That would have been dope.
Steve is very strict with his time. He was like, this time, and I got 30 minutes for you. And I was like, all right, cool. That's all I need. So that's I had dope. To go up to him and just, you know, thank him and whatnot. And as soon as Cap got host of the year, I walked out that bitch because I was like, bullshit.
Oh, don't do Cap like that.
Nah, Cap is queer. I was talking about Scott Kaplan, who's he's a radio host in the newest show, and he won host of the year. And I was like, oh, Steve deserved that. But, you know, I can't be mad at Cap for it.
No, shut up. My boyfriend's like, Cap for that.
What'd he say?
My boyfriend's like, I voted for Cap.
just because he works with Laura.
Okay. Well,
like, it's funny, because look, I agree with you gotta meet people. Like, I had a listener that was like, oh, I want to go up to Cap, but I'm like, psst. I grabbed him, let's go. And it was a dude that bought me the drink because you were there when he was like, he was kind of tipsy already.
Yeah.
That's why you stepped away. And he was like, oh, I don't want to talk to Cap. I literally pulled him and the other two guys and like, let's go. Because look, I appreciate people and they're like, oh, you're so and so from so and so, whatever, right? But, like, on the real, like, I think of myself hella regular. You know what I mean? Like you're going to, man, y'all should have seen me today at Ross. Like, I was, like, in a chongo, like, in sweats. In my
the incognito. Yeah,
you know? Like, nah, it's not even incognito, bro. Like, I was lazy. I was tired. Like, I'm that person. All of us are that people, you know? But, like, we just happen to have a cool job. So it's, like, somebody, I did a live on Saturday because I was falling asleep at Apple and I was like, yo, I got to wake up. So I went live and people were like, oh, we didn't want to go up to you because, you know, we didn't want to bother you. And it's like, dang, like, I'm like, am I not approachable? Like, you know, but it just kind of was like, do I got a resting bitch face? Like, wait,
right,
hold
right,
up.
The Mexican side of it. Yeah. That's crazy. So
no, but I always do it. The guys are.
How do you feel about like, let's talk a little sports right now. How do you feel about the Lakers offseason? You think they're going to make a move? No.
I don't. Like, it's rough in these streets.
It is.
Because we're just in a tough bind, you know? Like, part of me wants to be really hopeful and say they are. And some magical something is going to come up. But we got to be real. Like, these are rough years, and we're not a championship team. And I know that we have the best player, you know, with LeBron, and I know he's it pains me. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I hesitated. Yeah, like,
it took a while for those words to come out.
She didn't want
to
say it.
But he is, right? Like, let's be real. And the things that he's doing at his age is crazy. But I think as all of you guys, you know, are like, we're huge fans. Like, we can't be in denial tampoco. Like, yeah. we gotta keep it 100. It's they're not gonna be good years. And, you know, if by the only way that something can happen is if we can get AD, LeBron, and if Russ stays to just work together. And from what I saw last season, that shouldn't happen.
That's exactly what I told these guys, that I feel like the new coach has to get them in a room and get them to understand that they have to play roles. It's not about being the best player in the world at this point anymore. It's about coming together to win a championship and who's going to play what role, who's going to, you know what I'm saying? Because it's just too, like with Russell, it was too much one-on-one last year and it didn't fit with the whole team. So I'm hoping that this new coach does something, because obviously we're not getting Kyrie anymore. That's off the table. John Wall went to the Clippers. So
John Wall, the fucking Clippers.
That's what I was saying too.
Sorry.
I'm stunned. Yeah. I walked into here and they told me, yeah, he signed with the Clippers. I'm like, bro, what?
Yeah.
The Clippers?
Yeah.
But
yo, what the underground pains? Because the Clippers are just, you know, but it's like babe, be quiet. That's his team. But it's like,
yo, Laura, you have to reconsider this whole thing right now. I know you just introduced him to everybody, but
there's some wars in that house, man.
That's like my wife. Warriors fan. Sometimes I say sometimes.
The Warrior fans can say some shit because they got some shit to back it up.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, but Clippers fans,
they choke, right? They just choke.
Yeah, that's what I said, like, today when they were talking about John Wall and, like, how he signed with the Clippers. I literally started playing Cluck You in the background, the little Muppets song of, like, fuck. I was like, who cares? Like, they don't do shit. Until they do something, I'm going to be like, all right. But y'all don't do shit.
Yeah, no.
For real.
They always choke.
At all. Facts. Straight up, so... And like when it comes, all right, I need to ask you this, because we'll have this debate sometimes. What do you think about the bubble championship?
In regard to
okay, so
does
so
it have a star next, an asterisk next to it?
No,
no, you don't think so?
I don't think. Look, I think that a lot of people think it was easier, right?
I think so.
I personally don't, because I mean, that was a rough year mentally for people. Right, like forget about sports, forget about anything that has to do with anything like that. Just in general, like globally, what people were witnessing, what people were going through, you know, we are meant to interact, right? So we couldn't do that. Like our world shut down, and then you're pulling people, because a lot of people feel like artists and athletes are like, oh, you're supposed to do this,
right?
Because this is your job. And yeah, part of me believes that, right? Part of me believes that, like, yo, this is your fucking job, go do it. But at the end of the day, like, imagine you getting plucked from your safety net, because now we're in like clusters of safety nets, right? Your home, wherever you're quarantining, you're plucked from that. And then you're alone, and then you only get to take, if any, selective people. Like, that's tough on you mentally. So I think because of the mental struggles, I think it was such a tough championship for the guys. But a lot of people think, oh, it was a short season, oh, it was this. I mean, you can do all that shit. But I just feel because of the mental that you had to go through, it was tough.
Yeah, and I think that not only the Lakers, but all 32 teams were under that same same circumstances, you know?
Yeah, and then we also got to remember that at one point, they even thought about walking away, you know, at one point of that whole thing.
And, so who was leading that? The fucking Clippers.
The only reason why I feel like it was easier from the Lakers standpoint, and I'm just going to say AD, because he's never been a healthy player all around. So those 4 months that he had prior to us getting to the bubble and them, you know, he had time to rest and heal his body up so that he can perform at that level, that elite level that he did for us. Because he was balling. He had game winners and everything, right? But that's the only reason why I feel like it was better. It was easier for them, for the Lakers, well, not for the whole.
But
yeah,
I feel
it
like
wasn't an easy experience.
I know, but like, it wasn't just the Lakers that had that. You know what I mean? So it's
right, but
like,
I feel like the Lakers definitely benefited from AD more than anybody, because he's such a like fragile player that's the only person that I'm like, just because of who he's done, like the track record following that. He's like,
oh, I was there at that game where I remember going with Lindsay, and I was like, oh shit, like when he got hurt,
bruh.
You know, we're like, fuck, like, again. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this fool can't stay off the floor, but, right, like, on the floor, like, se cae every time. It's like, what's going on with you, bro? And I give you, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but at the same time, they weren't the only team, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That had that benefit of the rest. So it's like, can it really be easier? No, because if it would have been the only team where it's like, okay, you guys only have this and everybody got to hustle, that's different.
Yeah, there's a big difference there. So I just want to see what you thought about that bubble championship there. More kind of just fast forwarding things though. What was your evaluation of the Mandy's and what do you think could top it next year?
Ooh, I loved it. In the sense of, like, the interaction, right? Like, he gives me a better man. Like, I feel like it was super cool that we were able to be around people because we haven't. Like, you know, because of the pandemic, we haven't really been around listeners. And, like, to me, that's one of the biggest reasons why I got into radio, to interact with people. So that was dope. What could top it? Hopefully no one tries to streak. Pero I don't know. Like, I think it would be cool to get, like, a stream of it.
Yeah.
We're kind of asking for that, but I like the exclusivity of stuff. Like, mm-hmm, if you were there, you got to see cool
night.
Shit. That.
Yeah, it was a really wild night.
Who went? I mean, I know my.
I went, and then Manny.
Yeah,
went.
I went with him.
Okay. I wasn't invited.
We have a nickname for this guy. It's Last Minute Enzo. Hey. I had bought my tickets back in November when it first got announced.
My brother got postponed. He never told me about even an award show.
Man, I tell him, listen. I'll tell all these guys, listen to ESPN Radio, and I'm the lone wolf there. So,
yeah, killing my.
There's a share button on the radio.
It's okay. Radio. I'm here. You know,
the only time he shares it is when, hey bro, I'm gonna be on the radio. Tune in.
when Laura finally gives me my shine on the radio, you know, like, she screens my call and she's like, all right.
I don't even screen the calls no more. I used to during pandemic because I was by myself, but I don't anymore.
Yeah, I think you screened one of my calls one time. I called into the Mason and Ireland show. So, yeah, long time ago during the pandemic, I think.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Who does that? The one where you won the Laker tickets?
I don't remember where I won the Laker tickets. Oh no, I won Laker tickets on the morning show when LZ was still there. It was like, it was when they were doing, it was like Money Madness or some crap, something like that. And I won the tickets by calling in. I remember I was at CSUN in the parking lot, and like I literally got out. I was so happy, and then literally 2 days later, the pandemic shut down everything. Hmm. Rudy Gobert touched the mics, and that was it.
Oh, I remember that day. And then like, oh shit, I got COVID.
You know, and then I remember I had Janice's email. So I hit her up. I'm like, yo, are you still giving out these tickets? Because I won this shit, you know. So
did she hook you up?
Yeah, yeah. I went actually to go see the Lakers versus Cavaliers. I took my brother. I took you to that, you see. So shut up. You know, so I took him to.
I benefited from him listening.
Exactly. So, you know, he benefited from it. But yeah, I remember that I won it from that. I also, but the thing is that I got robbed from was that I was supposed to also go to the radio station and get put in this money machine where I was supposed to. So like my whole thing, I was like, damn, I'm finally going to be able to go into ESPN and see like everything. Robbed, you know, so.
Let's see if Laura makes it happen.
I know, right? I'm just kidding.
Oh, dude, I wish I could. Like, it's crazy because we used to be able, not on the radio side, but on the TV side, like us as like workers, we would be able to like sign up and tour people, like, you know, of the studios. But because of COVID, I don't even have access to the TV building. My badge gets like, and I'm like, what the hell? I have to be in here, you know? So, because it's two different buildings at LA Live. And I had to go do something at the TV building. So, like, trust. I wish I could. Because there are people are like, yo, can you? Like, there's a dude that does, you know, he does media too and stuff. And he works downstairs, like, one of the restaurants. And he's like, I've never seen the ESPN LA studios. He's like, I would love to. And I'm like, bro, I would totally try to sneak you in. But security real quick. You got a badge?
Yeah, easily. I feel that.
Everything's changed.
No, definitely. But,
yeah.
You know, if the future holds it, I'll be there one day. Or if they open it back up again.
We're hiring a producer, bro.
What happened?
I think we're hiring a producer.
There it is. There's the opportunity.
How does one become a producer for ESPN?
You apply.
But what do you need to
Like, what do you need to have under your belt? Like, what kind of capabilities or qualifications?
Honestly, like, they're always going to say you need this, and, you know, you read the requirements and all that shit, right? It really is a lot about who you know, unfortunately, right? But you do, I mean, obviously you need to have, you know how to edit, right? You need to know how to edit. You need to know how to produce and how to find content. Like, but I feel like so many people now, like that's, it's not hard, right? You know how to, like, you have to be able to give points and be like, okay, and give different perspectives to a story, right? Like, you talked about the, you know, the bubble, like, this is the reason why. Well, what about this? Or, you know, you got to think for 3 to 4 different people to give different perspectives.
Right. Definitely.
And also have a personality.
Mm. How have I checked that box off so far?
You know, pretty good. I mean, you've been working with that back there. So you're pretty good.
cool. I'm going to definitely shoot my shot there, because I'll be honest with you, that's been a dream for me. And kind of like you, kind of how when you got to ESPN, it's more of a passion more than just like, oh, I want to do it for the money or for like, no, it's just that you get to have a great job doing what you love, and you're talking about another thing that you love, which is sports. So I think that's a package deal that I'm willing to explore one day. So we'll definitely do that. Just kind of moving on to wrap this podcast up. Who has been your favorite person to work with at the station so far?
Oh, man, that's tough. And I'm going to be like, I know that's people always going to say like, oh, no, it's tough because I respect Amanda so much. Not just because she's the boss, but she's a woman, right? Like making it and being a boss in a very, very male dominated industry in LA. Yeah. Like it's one thing, and no disrespect to the smaller markets, because don't be coming at me, but like LA and New York is the place, right? Like especially in sports,
there's
or
expectations
radio,
there.
Media.
There's
so I respect her so much,
and there's also expectations in these bigger markets too compared to the smaller ones.
Yeah, but I love Michael. Like Michael Thompson is amazing.
I'm so sad he was not at the Mandy's. That's my one beef that I got.
You're not the only one, but oh my god, this camera is so weird. Like, I completely understand, in a sense, why. And he's a germaphobe. He talks about
it. Huge. I love the video of his hotel room that John or Mike Trudell posted of towels everywhere in his hotel room.
Put it on the floor and everything.
And that's him. That shit ain't for show. You know, but everybody at the station is, like, different. But I also have connections with people like Briones, who I've known forever. Carlos Saisu, who is the social media manager, like, I went to college with him, you know?
That's wild. Like, it's really small world.
We went to college together. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
I have a quick question before we do wrap it up. Laura, what's one of the coolest incentives that ESPN offers, or if you can even share that with us?
No, we talk about it on the air. Like, one of the coolest perks that we have is we are still, like, even though I'm sure Mauricio knows because he listens.
Yeah.
You know, the station was sold to Good Karma Brands, and they talked about it at the Mandy's. But our team, like the programming team, you know, the hosts, the producers,
right,
you know, Amanda, we're still all owned by Disney. So one of the coolest perks that I have is being able to go into the park for free.
What?
Cool. Yep. Being a Disney employee, that's what you get.
Oh, that's sick.
That and the game.
Yeah.
When we can.
You can go to the games for free too?
I mean, if they have their tickets, like for example, the tickets are for
coverage.
Sales, right? Like the partners and all that other stuff. But like, nobody wants Clipper tickets, bro. Why do you think I go to Clipper games? Because
You made him a Clipper fan. You see?
No.
Oh, you're a Clipper fan already. Hey, babe, let's go to the Clipper fans free. And you converted him.
No. Like, he, cuando lo conocí, like, él ya venía damaged, you know? When he
hey, how many times did they drop him on the head for him to become a Clipper fan?
What happened?
How many times did he fall on his head as a child to become a Clipper fan? Because they never won nothing.
Don't do that to my man either, okay? He's very smart.
No, we're just giving him shit. He was a cool dude. That's why I'm walking around.
All I want to know is, okay, was he the Clipper fan when, you know, Sean Livingston and Baron Davis was on the team? Like, he's a day one diehard Clipper fan. Not when, like, we got the Lob City and everybody's trying, like, we got the selfies and the banners, you know? Not that Clipper fan. That's all I want to know, because
it's tough, but he was day one Clipper.
Okay, I can respect that.
Corey Maggette, he knows those names, right?
Chris Kamen.
Yeah, okay.
He's been working 6 a.m.
Okay. But,
yeah. That's great.
Thank you so much, Laura, for being on with
us
today.
I will have to ask you for one favor, though.
Uh-oh, what's up?
You have to help me get Jorge on this podcast.
Oh, that's easy. I know he'll do it.
That'll be dope. Yeah. I went up to him, and I got a selfie with him, and I was like, bro, the fact that you're still working during this whole thing, I was like, that's dope. You know what I mean?
Dude. Let me tell you, like I said, not because I known the kid for so long, because I do, but he's so talented and I'm so proud of him. And like, people are like, oh, are you mad that you lost your Mandy to him? Fuck no. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm so proud of him. You know, he's a dad. He hustles. Y'all don't even know. He has like 4 jobs. You know, like I have 2 jobs. But it's like, I'm single. Like, I mean, in the sense that I don't got no kids, you know? Yeah. I'm not married. Like, he has a kid. He has a wife. Like, he's a hustler, and that's who he is. Like, I love his parents because, like, I've known him for a long time. So I'm so proud of him, and I'm so proud of people finally getting to see just a little bit of what he is going to do, because this is nothing. Like, y'all going to be seeing that name way, way more. And in bigger things.
Definitely. And you as well, Laura. We're going to be seeing you do much bigger things and whatnot. And again, we thank you for doing this podcast. I hope we get to get you back on so we can kind of explore a different side of Laura.
Laura from ESPN. Thank you.
Yeah, Laura from ESPN. We'll get, you know, there's Jenny from the block. We'll get Laura from the block. You know what I mean? You know, we want to get to know you a little better. But once again, thank you so much. And we just look forward to having you on in the future, and just have a great day, a great night. Shout out to your BF over there. I didn't get to meet him, but I saw him walking around. He has fresh hair. If he ever needs a barber, New Life Barber Lounge. This is my barber right here. He's my brother.
I got him.
So if he's ever in the valley, you know, you already know where to go. So yeah, just, you know, shout out to
him.
Appreciate
you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you
for your time.
Have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our episode. We appreciate your support. Remember to follow us on Instagram at The Current Pod, where you can share our episodes, review, interact with us, talk to us about what's going on. We appreciate your feedback and everything that you guys do for us and supporting us. Have a wonderful day.